the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
My job is to yammer on the radio.
Or questioning your judgment.
Rotten hell.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Enough of the pleasantries. So we start with the opening takes, and then we go right to the phones. The phones are open, Jimmy. I am already pre-logged in.
And why is that? Because it's a what now?
A gender-free Friday.
Right.
When hosts aren't listening. 98.5. Phone lines are open. We'll go right to you. As soon as they're loaded up, we start with opening takes. Go ahead, Murray.
So another day has passed, and shocker, still no cooking on the Red Sox hot stove. No Shohei Ohtani, no Jose Abreu, no Giancarlo Stanton. But we kind of knew that based on the news this week. So what it really means is no fun, again, for the Red Sox. And I'm sure the segment of analytic dorks and keepers of the gate, they like it that way. Let's have it this way because it's fiscally responsible. They've got a good enough team. And that's why I want... No, I need the news. It's a rumor, really, just from a tweet from a guy that works for the MLB Network on Sirius XM. I need this to come true. I need the Yankees to get Giancarlo Stanton. Apparently, that's one of the teams he's interested in. It sounds like it's down to them or the Dodgers. I need it to be the Yankees. I lust for it to be the Yankees.
Why?
Why,
Murray? Yes, why?
Well, I mean, for one, it's just for spite. Because what's going on in this offseason with the Red Sox, it's pissing me off. Because they're not going to do anything. They might add Eric Hosmer, cool, you know, decent enough first baseman, but that's move B. That's free agent B. That should be move B, John Farrell, not A. They need a big bat. They need an Abreu. They needed a Giancarlo Stanton. They could do it. They could do it, but they're not fiscally responsible, so nope. So you enjoy your adorable little lineup. Have your murderer's row of Benintendi and Betts and Hanley, and your fiscal responsibility. You're dancing in the outfield while the Yankees would have Judge, Stanton, Sanchez. Oh. So spitefully, I want that to happen. But it could be a good thing, too, because the arms race would really start. Like that, I remember in that Valentine's Day of, what was it, 2004, the Yankees ended up with Alex Rodriguez when it felt like the Red Sox were going to get him. I was like, well, what the hell? What are we going to do here? We're going to keep losing the Yankees even in the offseason? So if this happens, while on the one end, for this season, spitefully it'll be great, because the Red Sox will do nothing, and the Yankees will infinitely be better than you in terms of the lineup. What it'll cause the Red Sox to do, because they'll see, they'll still be fourth in the hearts and the minds of the city, and they'll just be, you know, people I think will react the way that they reacted this year when they got knocked out by the Astros.
Yeah. McCone, along those lines, your opening take.
Yeah, mine's about the Red Sox, too. And obviously, the Browns kind of made headlines yesterday, hitting the restart button yet again, getting another general manager in there because they don't have a master plan. And you look at the Patriots and you look at the Celtics, and they're two of the best-run organizations in all of sports. Over the last few years, though, I look at the Red Sox organization and what they've done. They let the best GM in the history of baseball walk out the door. They hire Bobby V. They win a World Series. They say it's not about big-time free agents. A year later, they go out, they sign Hanley, they sign Pablo. They say, we're not into 30-year-old pitchers, paying them big money. A year later, they let Lester leave, and then they go sign a $200 million 30-year-old pitcher. Like, there's no master plan over there. We've seen it again this week with the Alex Cora stuff coming out. They don't properly vet them. I'm not saying they're the Cleveland Browns in terms of the on-air, I mean, on the on-field product, but the operation itself is really dysfunctional over the last few seasons, and it's closer to Cleveland than it is the Patriots or the Celtics.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, this is for you, Matt.
Somewhere,
these Sox takes.
Somewhere there is a high-pitched Red Sox commentator who just had a smirk across his face.
Oh, I love that.
I think he's right. I mean, that's hot. That's a scorcher. But it does feel dysfunctional. And this offseason, I think, has proven that again. So if the Yankees do end up with Stanton, the Red Sox will have a tepid offseason, and they'll still be there, but are they going to win anything next year? No. But going into the following offseason, it would mean to me they're going to be forced to bring in a Machado, a Harper. They will have to do something. So ultimately, it would be a good thing, I think, if the Yankees end up landing them, because, you know, the arms race will be back on, I would hope.
Okay, a couple of Red Sox takes there to open. Mine is just quickly on the Thursday night game last night. Great karma. Great karma and further evidence that no one else in the league can coach except for Bill Belichick. Here you have the New Orleans Saints, who are in control pretty much the entire game. And Sean Payton, who, depending on who you ask, might be the second-best coach in the league or in the top five, or he's always been considered. You say, who's next after Belichick? Payton lands on those lists. So he's one of the good guys. He's one of the good ones. Decides to give the choke sign to the Atlanta Falcons in the second half of that game. Choke sign. Not necessarily about anything they did on a specific play, but 28-3. So going back to your chokers. And, of course, what happens to the Saints is, on the last possession, Sean Payton's quarterback throws an end zone interception, and Sean Payton gets a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct for running onto the field to yell at a ref, and the game is lost. If that just doesn't encapsulate the state of coaching across the NFL, I don't know what does. And, again, that could be the second or third best coach in the league, depending on who you talk to. And he does that? Oh, that was tremendous, Murray.
And with that unsportsmanlike, too, it came after a fumble that the Falcons recovered, but it looked like the Falcons were about to crap their pants with about a minute left.
Falcons were ready to give it right back to the Saints, and the Saints were too worried. I don't know, Payton was too worried about getting in a referee's face. And he flies onto the field, gets 15 yards, and that is the game after his quarterback throws an unbelievably bad end zone interception 30 seconds before when the Saints were in position to easily tie the game or go ahead. Who choked Payton? What a classless dick move to flash the choke sign for because a team lost a Super Bowl the year before. Meanwhile, when's the last time you were even in the playoffs, Sean?
3 straight 7-9 seasons.
Like, good God, what a loser move that is.
And really, what's that got to do with those two teams? Anyway, I know that's like a supposed rivalry. They tried to tell me that when I was down there, but that's something for like Patriots fans to do.
So anyway, that's just my quick opening take.
We have movement, Murray. Oh, we have Major League Baseball movement.
Do we have a breaking news situation?
Oh.
Go ahead, breaking news. If we're going to have movement, let's address it, please, or address it up, I mean.
Do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Joel Sherman, New York Post, blue check mark, says Ohtani has decided to sign with the Angels. Going to go to the Angels.
Shoot.
That's not fun at all.
Shoot. Would have been better if he was in New York.
Yeah. And also would have made more sense if he went to Seattle. It felt like with that move that they made yesterday, getting D. Gordon, it felt like, I don't know, they were freeing up some money to make the move for him. It's a large Japanese community there. Ichiro obviously was there. And
okay, well, I mean, either way,
Japanese path.
That's boring.
Yeah,
it is. Like Mike Trout, boring.
I would have loved to have seen that player here. What a fun thing. Hopefully they use him as he should be used, which is
means he's not an alpha.
Meaning a power hitter 3 days during the week and a starting pitcher that fifth day.
Soft player. Don't want him.
Go ahead, Jimmy. You want an opening take?
That is my opening take.
My real opening take is Christmas in the City. This is go time for us raising funds for Christmas in the City. Key day. The online Christmas in the City auction will close at the end of business today. All right? So this is where we raise the bulk of our funds for Christmas in the City, which, again, is a 100% volunteer nonprofit organization that provides Christmas for homeless kids, shelter kids in the city who don't ordinarily get that experience. For lack of a better term that doesn't do it justice, they throw a huge Christmas party for these kids. They give them gifts. There's Santa experiences. There's rides. There's meals for the parents if they're around, or the caregivers if they're around. And it's a tremendous charity. We've aligned ourselves with it the last couple of years. And again, it is local people helping local people. So you can really see your dollars at work. And this is our big fun drive for it. It ends today. It's the Christmas in the City online auction. You can go to 985thesportshub.com, and there's a link right there, right at the top of the page, that will bring you to the Christmas in the City website, which you can then bid on these items, or you can just go to christmasinthecity.org. But there's a range of items, like, for example, a James White signed Super Bowl football. The current bid is only $400. It should be worth more than that. It's from the Super Bowl, I think, for God's sakes. There's a 2017 Bruins team-signed stick. What if they go to the Cup? Not saying that that's a guarantee, but just what? It's going to be worth more than the $450 it's going for right now. There's a pair of tickets to the Foo Fighters at Fenway Park. Current bid is only $250. That is a steal.
Yeah, that's way low.
Okay, pair of tickets for the Patriots-Jets game on New Year's Eve. That should be a humdinger. $650 is the current bid. That's just barely above face value. Great value there. Bid that up. A Mookie Betts signed baseball. A couple $100 right now. Let's get that one up. A couple of tickets for a Bruins game, March 19th. And a $100 gift card to Ducali Pizzeria Bar and gift card. I should read this before I start talking. But anyway, $100 gift card to get some pizza before the game. How's that? From Ducali. A pair of tickets for the Boston Celtics, their December 20th game, with a $100 gift card to one of Steve DiFilippo's restaurants. Okay, there's a bunch of them. Starting bid right there is $665. That's good. Those are good tickets, but we can do better with that. All right, so bid all these items up. Oh, and I left out the big one. Again, the biggest one, or what I mean is the one with the highest bid on it right now, and annually, for some reason, this is the most valuable bid. The Felger and Maz show sit-in. You get to come in and watch the show live here in our studio in Brighton or you get to spend some of it behind the glass with Billy Lanny and Jimmy Stewart. You get to meet Maz, shake his hand, take a picture, and just sit here and enjoy the Maz and Murray and Felger experience live and in person in our studio. So
people seem to like that when they come do that.
That one is going for $1,100.
Hit it up, people.
So go figure. The pair of Celtics tickets, $665. Pair of Patriots tickets, $650. Felger and Maz, $1,100. So that's on the board as well. Bid up those items. Please help us raise money for Christmas in the city.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blunt force trauma.
We're going to run it right down their throat.
This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz will be appearing live. Murray's going to be there. Maybe right. Stu will drop by. Felger and Maz appear live at the Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall this Sunday from 2 to 4. So you can meet us. You can donate an unwrapped toy. And, of course, monetary donations, always welcome. So come by and say hi and donate to Christmas in the City. There's that. To the phones, leading us off is Dan in Danvers with the Red Sox talk. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was just calling because I got a mouthful of food right now, and I didn't expect to get on the radio.
Okay. Here, hold on 1 second. Just swallow.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Don't choke.
I put you on hold. I'll come back to you in a minute. Pete in Delaware, what's your leadoff take?
I'd like to talk about Sean Payton. What a disgrace last night. I mean, that's one of the most selfish acts I've seen a coach, not to mention stupid. It was 3rd and 6. Now, the chances of them winning the game were probably slim, but between that and the choking, and I guess the choking act was in reference to them losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They did. And the better thing, hey, Mike, 9 first downs last night the Falcons got on penalties. Bad coaching.
9. There you go. There's Kerry Burns, Kerry Burns' intelligence index right there. Right. But... oh my God! What a Bush League cheap punk move of Sean Payton to flash the choke sign at the Falcons, and it had nothing to do with what was going on with the game
right
at the time. I think it was just a Devontae Freeman run, right?
Yeah, and he was out of bounds, and he started giving that choke sign. I don't know if there's any history between those two. I don't think that there is.
But what a punk! You haven't been in the playoffs for 3 years, and you're going to mock the team that lost the Super Bowl, you loser. Then your team is going to throw an end zone interception with a minute left. You're still going to have a chance to get the ball back, but you are going to run out onto the field and pump your fist at the ref and get a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and end the game.
Well, like you said at the top of the show, karma. They deserve to lose
that
game.
And that's one of the good coaches, folks.
Right.
That's one of the good ones. All right, Dan, have you swallowed?
Oh, yeah. I Caesar salad, #Friday Lunch Talk. We'll get
that
going on Twitter. But, I just wanted to call because you guys were talking the other day about the Mookie Betts interview down in Tennessee.
Yep.
And his charity bowling and with the Eric Hosmer connection. I just wanted to add to that the connection there is Devin Marrero grew up with Eric Hosmer and they played baseball their whole lives together. As well, they played with Matt Harvey. So I just wanted to say that that's definitely all smoke and no fire. But I would love to have Hosmer. I think the Red Sox need a little bit of – they need the flair. I think Chris Sale has that same sort of screw-you attitude he plays with. I think Josh Donaldson plays that way. I think that Eric Hosmer would be a great addition to the Sox.
Absolutely.
You guys have to say.
Donaldson's a good one, too.
Yeah.
They need that guy. It should be Pedroia, but he's just sort of not that guy anymore.
Yeah, he's a winner. There's leadership there. Maz looked at the numbers. I think he's a career like near 350 hitter at Fenway Park, but it's still not enough. You still need another bat. You need a big bat.
Got to be the second guy. Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees. He wants to go to the Yankees and not here. Why?
Well, bigger market.
Why, McCullough?
Because they're a better organization than you.
Yeah, Jimmy just nailed it. I really think so. It's a better operation right now in New York than it is in Boston.
Way better operation. They have a farm system, they have pitching, they have offense, they have sex appeal, too. They have the back pages. What do you have?
Stu.
Devin Marrero.
You sound angry. You sound angry. Are you angry at the Red Sox?
Yeah, do something. Get off your ass and do something.
Love it.
No, he's right. This is why, and again, think of that. Judge, Stanton, Sanchez. Oh, my God.
You're the Boston Red Sox. Take on the whole flipping contract of Stanton and bring him to Boston.
What if he didn't want to come here? He has to waive his no trade, you know.
I've heard otherwise.
Oh. It's informed speculation. Informed take-making, McCone. That's what sets this program apart.
The Red Sox never really pursued Stanton.
I see. So it never really got to that stage.
Exactly.
Ugh.
And that is just so wrong. That is just so tepid.
That's repulsive is what that is.
Here's
be an alpha, Boston Red Sox.
Mike in Amherst, what do you got on the Celts?
Felger, what's up, you boob? Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Hey, I want to ask, I know you don't really have a clue about this kind of stuff. I was hoping I could get another informed take from Jay Stu about the possibility of the Celtics getting Marc Gasol and what he thinks we'd have to give up to get him.
Okay, money. I mean, you got to match that salary, right, Stu? Isn't he like
it's a 3-year deal, I still think that he's on.
But that's not the, it's 18.
I believe he's a mid-20s player, $23 million, something like that.
Mid-20s, I was going to say 18.
Yeah, 22.6.
So you got to match up mid-20s.
And you really can't do that in season. The offseason, you can do it. But, and I know that there's been interest in the past, but do you really, who would you rather have, Anthony Davis or Marc Gasol?
Yeah, I wouldn't waste any assets for Gasol. And to match up salary, I mean, really, what are you talking about?
You have to give up Smart, Marcus, Morris, Jalen Brown.
Exactly.
Horford,
right.
Something like that.
So you don't have the money.
Right.
I mean, meaning you don't have...
You can't trade lesser players and try to get a player like that.
You'd have to trade someone you really don't want to trade.
Right.
So no.
But I'll tell you, in terms of the size, he's a legit 7-footer. You got no one like that. You saw what Andre Drummond did to this team just recently. Even in a win, Antetokounmpo puts up 40 points on him. So if they face those teams in the playoffs, who you got to defend anyone like that? You really don't on this team. So I would love someone like that, but I'm not giving up, you know, a Tatum or Brown or Al Horford.
If Anthony Davis isn't available, I'd consider him, but I'd rather have Paul George.
So here's Phil and Revere on the Rob Gronkowski situation. Hi, Phil.
What's up, guys? Listen, this is so... I didn't even hear this, like, being a black and white issue. Like, a couple of games back, I forget who we were playing, but a black guy jumped on Brady after the play was completely over, and it was like he kept jumping on him. It wasn't even a...
I just hate the way you said that. A black guy jumped on Brady. Like... Anyway, go. Just go ahead.
So how is it a racial issue is what I'm saying.
It's not. It's not a racial issue. It never was. It's a couple guys on ESPN.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what I'm trying to say to you. Like, how is it, like, if a black guy jumps on a white guy, doesn't get any time taken off, so how is it a race thing? That's what I'm saying.
It's not. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. And it's annoying that ESPN goes there and...
It's easy bait for a lot of people, and they know that that's lighting the box of matches here. People lose their mind, especially when Boston's not racist anymore. Stop calling us racist. We're not racist. And then there you go. You got a week's worth of takes.
Cam and Taunton, the thought of the day. What is it, Cam?
During the offseason, you guys read an article from a guy by the name of Kian Faye saying that Brady last year in the playoffs looked old.
Arm strength, right? Yeah, no. His velocity went down. Yes, that's right.
Well, last year when he got to the playoffs, he had played 12 games. He's played 12 games this year. I want to keep an eye on this thing because this possibility. I feel this is a possibility because the guy is 40 years old, and this is something that I want to keep my eye on in these coming weeks. Is he's now played as many games this year as he did last year going into that playoff game against Houston?
I don't mind that take. It is. Let's see. You know, I think part of that story was that Brady benefited from his suspension last year. He was a little fresher at the end of the year than he ordinarily would have been, and even then in the playoffs, he sort of faded. He had a bad game against Houston and a bad half plus against Atlanta. And so I think that's fair.
And he certainly didn't take the beating that he has taken this year, last year.
I mean, if you're asking me how he's going to look like and what he's going to look like, he's going to look amazing.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Because he always is. And he always, you know, as soon as you start to say, that doesn't look right, he shoves it right down your throat. So that ain't a prediction. But I think that's an interesting something to keep an eye on. And, you know, this was, he got that 4-game suspension last year and not this. And so the workload is more and he's been hit more for sure this year, Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
What I've seen from the San Antonio Spurs is what is growing now in Boston. If you gave Danny Ainge, Doug Collins taught me this word, some sodium pentothal, it's okay, truth serum.
Uh-huh.
And you asked him, who would you take? Kyrie or Brad Stevens? Who you think he picked?
I don't know, but I want to know the answer.
He picked Brad Stevens.
Wow.
Found Jalen Rose to support his take.
Well, it was on a Worldwide Leader morning show, and I'm friends with people over there, so they sent it to me.
Let me ask you something. Who would you take, Brad Stevens or Kyrie Irving? You.
Brad Stevens.
You would?
Yes.
Ugh. McCone, who would if you had to give up one and keep one, you had to. Who would go? Who would stay?
I'm a college basketball nerd. I love Brad Stevens more than anyone in the world. It's Kyrie, hands down. It's not even close.
Thank you.
It's not even close.
This thing has gotten stupid. Now, what?
Why is it stupid? Because you don't like the take?
Because it's just no one with half a brain takes a coach over a superstar player in that league. It's just You just don't do it.
There can't be exceptions?
Sure there are. And maybe the Celtics are one of them. So maybe Jalen Rose is right. Like, they're so into Brad. You people are so into Brad. And Ainge and Wick are so into Brad Stevens. They just might keep him over the superstar player. They might. Rose might be right. But that doesn't make it the right call. That doesn't make it the correct decision. This is just a thing we've been batting around for the last couple of weeks. And Jalen Rose weighs in on it.
By saying that.
Love him. He's my new favorite analyst.
You believe that Danny Ainge wouldn't be able to find the next Brad Stevens in college.
But the point is, when you have superstar players, you don't need the best coach. You
need a good coach.
You usually just need someone functional.
Yeah.
Okay? And every once in a while, you can get away with someone horrible, like Tyronn Lue. Right?
Tyronn Lue is an NBA championship coach right now. Unbelievable.
Right. Now, like, I would never want Lue to coach my team. I think you generally need to be better than that. But you don't need the best. If you have the right players, all you need is a functional, competent NBA coach. So talk to maybe like a top 15 coach, a top 10, even if you want to go that far. So you don't need Brad Stevens.
Yeah, you need Eric Spoelstra.
I don't know. Put the name on it. Budenholzer. There should be a million. If you have the right players, there should be a bunch of guys that could get you the title. So you don't give up. So anyway, but we've been back and forth on this. Jalen Rose weighing in here on an Agenda Free Friday.
Is that your new ringtone, Jimmy?
Oh, you better believe it.
Speaking of the Celts, our buddy Luke in Vermont is here. Hi, Luke.
I have another question, but first, to what you guys were just talking on, Felger, don't you get it that you can say the same thing as you're saying about Kyrie Irving? Like, if you have the best players, you don't need the best coach. But if you can't get LeBron James, then you get Brad Stevens, you might be able to win, too. Like, Murray, same thing with you. You're saying you don't trust Danny Ainge to find another Brad Stevens. Do you not trust Danny Ainge to find another Kyrie? If you give him those assets, IT and the Brooklyn pick and Crowder, don't you think he could get another good guard?
Yeah, you still got to find someone else to dance with you, though, that has that superstar you can make that deal.
No, but say another good guard. Ainge? Kyrie's a top 10 player. Can he get... No, those are really, really hard to get, Luke.
I know, but Danny Ainge has got them. Top 3 draft picks are really, really hard to get, and they're not easy to hit on. But yet he has with Tatum and Brown. I think Danny is the most important to all of it because
Agreed.
He's making it all happen.
If you want to say Danny or Kyrie, now it's a different story. I still don't know if I would do that, but I think Danny is much more important than the coach, in my opinion, Luke.
Felger, and I get it in a vacuum, Kyrie or Brad Stevens, it's a no-brainer. You got to take Kyrie. I get it in a vacuum, but big picture, having some perspective, you can understand. Brad's importance to the whole thing because if you don't have LeBron James, you need to find another way to win it. And Brad gives you a chance if you don't have the best, but you still need the great players.
Well, let's see.
But anyways, here's my question for you guys. If Gordon Hayward comes back, what is the Celtics ceiling?
Okay, so...
What's he look like?
This thing, you know, and the Ainge really left the door open, and I know internally they think it's possible, and I just hate the fact that it's being expressed publicly.
I hate it.
Because it's like, now
you're putting undue pressure on the kid.
Right, this whole side story now, where it's just like, he's not coming back this year.
And even if he's physically okay, what's he going to be mentally? Anytime he's going up for a jump shot or it's a weird landing, is he going to be all right? Like, I just... let him be out this year. That is a...
Well, but at least say it. Let him rehab on his own time, and with no pressure... And if suddenly you get to April and he feels great and he can do it, great. Then surprise us all and just throw him out. You know, bring him in. Let's reveal. Let's just do the big surprise. But to say anything other than it's not happening this year, I think is doing the kid a disservice and creating a side story that it's not going to derail them, but it's just, why do they want it?
Maybe they think they have a chance this year.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
This is why they're doing
legitimate chance of beating the Warriors.
No, this is what they feel. But why do you have to do it publicly? Like, how are you benefiting...
Maybe they're getting whipped up in the buzz of the team and everything right now.
Does it help you to float publicly that we think he could come back, and when he comes back, we think we have a shot this year with this team? How does that help you?
It does. To me, it doesn't.
I mean, you've sold every ticket. Your ratings are up 150%. You've sold everything. There's nothing left to sell, I think. I don't know. So what do you, like, why feed that sort of hype machine? I don't know how that helps you.
Oh, I don't know. If I was the brass of that team, though, I could see how it could get easy to get whipped up into all of this right now and be like, yes, oh, man, if he does come back, he can come back. We really can win the title this year. Come on. Everyone get on the C's train. Toot, toot. But still, don't put the pressure on him. You don't know what he's going to be like, even mentally.
So the question is the role. You know, to me, you're taking minutes away from Brown or Tatum. I mean, that's what...
15-minute come off the bench.
So is he your sixth man?
He's your David Price, to use a baseball analogy.
Pretty snappy sixth man. I think he's out there to end the game.
Yeah.
I think he's out there to end the game, so you get another shooter. Does he start or not? Who cares? You know, I don't know. I think, you know, who's on the...
He's part of your closing five.
Yeah, he's your closing five.
Limited minutes.
But, you know, in the interim, is he taking away minutes from these young guys that, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But
if he's, you know, Gordon Hayward, and he does come back this year, like, already I think that they're going to go to the East Finals and have a competitive series with the Cavs. You get him back, I feel like you're a lock for the finals.
Whether you're in Cleveland or here?
Yeah.
Okay. Lock is a little strong, but we'll see. So there's that. That's on the board as well. Long commercial-free segment is next here on an Agenda-Free Friday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Group left corner now. Sent out in front, high slot. Pasternak fakes right, circle sent to Bergeron through the goal mouth. They score! Tic-tac-toe across to the far side, and Krejci hammers it home. 4-1 Bruins.
I'm glad we played the Krejci goal, though, because I saw a really cool stat about him, because he's been really good. 14 games with him this season. Bruins, 3.2 goals per game. In 12 games without him, they've scored only 2.4 goals per game. Like, he's been a difference maker. And even having Backus back a month probably earlier than anybody expected after getting half of his colon taken out, or 10 inches of colon, he was awesome in that second period.
If you go through the last couple of years, Krejci in and productive versus not in or not productive, like, is a huge swing. So they're a much better team when he's in there and productive. So that's been the trend the last several years. But anyway, Murray says it's going to be easy win because of the Coyotes and how badly they suck. He was right. I don't think the Bruins were that good. I think for large portions of that, the first 30 minutes of the game, it was just a slap it out there Thursday, that, you know, wet fart Claude Julien sort of night. And
well, outside of after they got that first goal, yeah, for a long stretch there, it was like, God, come on, wake up.
They did nothing for about a half hour, nothing, for about 30 minutes of game action. And then Backus got the tip, and they were off and running in an easy win. And that's sort of the kind of game that good teams win, where they do half effort, but it's a bad team, and they just do enough to win, and they walk away with 2 points. So I'm not saying you're a good team, but that's the kind of win you get when you're a good team. So you can pretend there for a little bit. I said yesterday, I think it's a key stretch for the Bruins. 8 of their next 10 are at home. Beatable opponents across the board. They're getting healthier. It looks more like their real lineup. They're pretty much there. They're pretty much minus Spooner, and McQuaid, I think, is the only one. Like, yeah. They're almost there at their full lineup. And that's just, again, I like the look of their lineup when I see Marchand and Bergeron and Krejci and Backus surrounded by, you know, various forms of Pasternak, Bjork, DeBrusque, Heinen. You know, I just think there's a good blend there of vets and young kids, and McAvoy and Carlo and back. Like, I think I see what they're doing there. I like the look of that roster.
Well, this is what it's supposed to be, and you're not leaning on these young players and giving them way too many minutes and then putting other guys out there that you're like, what? Who is this person?
And, oh, by the way, Rask is back, okay? And you could say he got a little small on that first goal, but either way, he's back. He's won three in a row. He's reclaimed the job. He's rested. He's gotten his work, his workload reduced a little bit, which is important to him. So no excuse.
No, it's good momentum that they got right now.
If they're going to be a decent team, this is, I think, the next 2-3 weeks we're going to find out if they're a playoff team or not. They should separate in this next 2-3 weeks is what I'm saying. Mike in Boston has been holding for a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the Bruins draft pick. There's been a lot of talk about how 15 could have been a bust. But you just made a good point in the sense that they have a good blend of veterans and young players. And so I think what we want to do is look back. All right, the 14 draft was great. We got Pasternak. We got Heinen.
We got Bjork. Yeah.
So that was a great pick. And by the way, Ryan Donato looks like a good prospect at Harvard. So going into 15, what they needed were defensemen and wings. We still had Krejci, we still had Bergeron, but we had no wings. If you remember, the 15-16 season, our right wings were Brett Connolly, Lee Stempniak, and Jimmy Hayes.
Right, Mike.
For a dumpster fire.
Yep, right. You got to get to the point a little bit quicker here.
Okay. So anyway, so they ended up, so Barzal and Kyle Connor were our playmaking centers, right? That's not what they were looking for. Now, Barzal's lighting it up offensively, but he's 5'11". 174 pounds.
I saw
a
6 foot 190 yesterday when I looked it up.
No, that's Kyle Connor, the guy after him.
Okay.
The Barzal is 5'11". Well, when he was drafted, he was 5'11", 174. Anyway, he had injury history, and he's a liability defensively. He's playing well now, but a lot of these guys come up, they put up big numbers, and then they regress once they figure out they have to play defense. And so there's only so many guys, so many rookies you're going to be able to play.
Okay, so you're sort of excusing them for that 2015 draft.
No, no, I'm saying that they're still, you still have, you have DeBrusque who's playing as a rookie. Okay, you have Zboril who's still developing, but he's not bad. I mean, he's playing okay at Providence. Now, Sinishin, that's the guy they reach for. Everybody knows that. He was sort of a combine guy, right? He's super fast. He's big. He's got a great shot. They took a shot at him. But if you look at, and then you look at the next three picks they had the second round.
Mike, yep. I can't, I've reached my limit on this. I'm
2 minutes of him saying the draft was fine.
I can't. The point was that there's a kid coming in here with the Islanders, Barzal, on Saturday, who's lighting it up, point a game, and is a highlight reel, and he's just an awesome young prospect. He was taken right after the Bruins took Zboril, DeBrusque, and Sinishin with those three first-round picks back-to-back-to-back, and the player after those three guys is lighting it up and is a Rookie of the Year candidate. And it's just going back and saying, did they blow that 15 draft? We'll find out. You think there's hope, caller? We'll see. I don't know. I don't excuse them for the fact that they needed wings and there were only centers. You know, that's the another case where
they also need a defenseman, and that Shabbat ended up in Ottawa a few picks after that, too.
At that point in their development, they needed everything. Just draft good, skilled players, right, and we'll figure out, you know, who moves to the wing. Like you're not in the position there to be picking like that. Here's Joe in Rosendale on Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees, which Murray wants to happen. Go ahead, Joe.
What a blabbermouth that guy was.
Yeah, a little much.
Shut up. anyways, Falco, I want to apologize yesterday for calling you an old chunk of coal for not knowing what Instagram was.
Yeah, it's okay. I know of it, but it's all right. Go ahead. What's your Stanton point?
Sorry. Anyways, yeah, I hope he goes. I pray to God he goes to the Yankees. You know, I hope he does it and just takes a hot, steamy dump on this Red Sox organization. I hope he hits like 70 home runs while those stupid guys dance out in the outfield and do the wind dance repeat. You know, every time I see that dance, I want to puke in my hand and throw it at the TV. This Red Sox team has no grit since David Ortiz left. They're a bunch of babies. Friggin' David Price going at X. Get this guy out of here. This organization is just going downhill so fast I can't take it anymore. Okay. I'm making my head want to explode.
Or throw up in your hand and throw it at the TV. That's a good one.
That'd be like throwing oatmeal.
McCone's opening take is that what? Restate the headline of your opening take.
No, I just think with the Browns firing their GM and everyone talking about that's
here,
a team that doesn't have
here,
a program
in place. Can I help you? The Red Sox, in their decision-making, are closer to the Browns than they are the Patriots.
Yeah, it's been brutal over the last few years.
Oh,
yes.
I love that.
There's your headline, that when it comes to decision-making and judgment, the Red Sox right now are closer to the Cleveland Browns than the New England Patriots.
Oh, yes. I love that.
That is very Maz-esque right there. That's a Maz-esque take, McCone. I like it.
But the Stanton thing, like, can you believe they're just going to stand by and let Stanton go to the Yankees?
It's sickening, Mike. This isn't the Red Sox that I've known over the last decade plus.
And what I mean is, if Stanton doesn't want to come here but he wants to go there, your hands are tied. He's got a no-trade clause, but not to try and counter it in some way. You know, like
did he even fight? Did you make the call?
Right.
Because it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't sound that way.
McCone, does your guy in Providence have any updated information?
I'll check in. I'll find out right now.
Oh, right. Yeah, did he say a couple weeks ago that Sox were still in on that?
He did, as of a couple weeks ago. I'll see if there's anything new up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So despite the nerds and this team and the gatekeepers of this team who, well, you know, this offense is going to be... Enjoy your mediocre offense and your defense and all your stolen bases that amounted to complete nothing over the last couple of seasons and early exits. Enjoy that while the Yankees add Giancarlo Stanton.
Enjoy watching Jackie Bradley Jr. go first to third on a base hit to right field.
Ugh.
Enjoy getting thrown out at home plate again.
So I will spitefully enjoy this if this happens next year. Like I said, it will force, I would like to think, it will force the hand of the Red Sox to really get back into this arms race against this team going into 2019 and make a play for Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. Or they're going to have to do something.
Oh, and that win, dance, repeat thing, McCone? My penis gets smaller every time I see it. That's the line I repeat all the time. I lose a measure of manhood just watching it. I feel less of a man every time I just look at it. Especially Benintendi, his capper move is always.
I think it's the Michael Jackson on top of the toes. Oh yeah.
When I see that, you're right. I want Giancarlo Stanton to come in here and hit a 500 foot home run and not do a thing, not dance or shake his ass or do anything. Here's Fred and Canton quickly on the Rob Gronkowski situation. Hi, Fred.
Hey, guys. Is Matt not in today because his best friend lost to Lonzo Ball last night? Or?
So, I don't know how he feels about that. The Lakers beat the Sixers is what you're talking about.
All right, well, anyway, listen, these guys complaining so much, I think they kind of stepped in it. I mean, if it were me and I was on the Bills and I felt like the way Tre'Davious White says he feels, I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't talk about how I almost died. The next time I played him, or maybe next season, they're going to see each other again, I'd take a cheap shot at him, go for his knee, and try and hurt him. That's what I would do.
Take a number.
Having said what they have said, I mean, they can't really do that, I think. But then I go back to how stupid the Bills are. I mean, were they going to talk this much this week and then still take a shot? What do you guys think?
They might. They are that dumb. I mean, whether they talked or not, if they really went after Gronkowski, the next time the league would say, well, that's retaliation and we're going to look at, you know. So I think either way that would be evident. It's just, I don't know. It was a cheap shot. Right. You want retribution? Take a number. Take a number. Keep your mouth shut. It's obvious.
The whole hood. I mean, wants after him.
They could carrying on.
What do you think of that, Tom?
The whole hood wants after him.
Streets is talking there, Tom.
The whole hood wants after him.
Son, they shook. Ain't no such things as halfway crooks, Tom. Scared to death and scared to look. The whole hood want him, Tom. What do you think of that? Well, hold on. Let me put in my recorded answer that I recorded earlier this week, Jim. Don't forget to shop at Macy's.
More on the Brady.
The whole hood wants after him.
Jim Gray did ask Brady about that. You'll hear that sound coming up right after McCone's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.